Good evening. Thank you to all of the listeners and callers tonight who are joining me either via the internet or by phone. Welcome to Master Your Mindset here on Universal Energy Radio on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Mary Jo Bull. I produce this podcast every Wednesday night at 8 o'clock to talk about elements of life experience that we can leverage, understand, and then leverage to create a life of more joy and growth and freedom. And I speak and mentor and guide on these topics and the topic of spiritual science and self-actualization. It's kind of my jam. And if you're listening to this podcast, it's likely that you're seeking a better version of yourself as well and a deeper spiritual understanding of life. So thank you for being here with me tonight. If you are listening via the internet, welcome. If you're listening by phone, you have the option of asking a question because you will be directly connected to the studio. If you have a question that you want to ask, you can hit the number 1 on your phone, and I'll get an indication that someone has a question, and I'll open up your mic, and we can have a conversation. If you're joining via the internet, and as I'm speaking, you have a question or a comment or something that you might want me to address a little further, you can feel free to text me in real time. My cell phone number is 703-943-9705, and I'll get an alert that I've gotten a text, and I can address your question or your comment there. Sometimes people are a little bit shy about coming on the air, and I can certainly understand that. If you do text me, just give me your first name, where you're texting from, and then your question. So typically when I do my podcast, they're pretty well curated. I usually spend a couple of hours just sitting in the quiet and sort of meditating, you know, pondering what is a good topic for the evening. And I've been looking at this actually since about last Friday, and I wasn't getting anything super clear. So that for those of you who are on my distribution list, that's why you didn't get an email from me until mid-afternoon today, because I was still looking for clarity on the subject matter for tonight. But I did pick up on something on Monday morning when I was meditating, and it sort of came through to me in the form of lessons from the pandemic. I found myself sort of looking back over the last 10 weeks. And first of all, feeling this just incredible shift internally in that time frame. I was going back to that first week in quarantine and sort of remembering what that felt like for me, what I was thinking at the time, how I was perceiving the world at the time. I am an extroverted introvert, so being home is not an issue for me. I spend a lot of time on my own, and I enjoy my own company. I know some people were and continue to struggle with the isolation, and you know, they're used to things being a certain way, and everything sort of turned upside down. I remember thinking to myself, boy, if this had happened even, you know, a few years before this, this would have been an entirely different experience for me. So I felt immense gratitude to my higher self for all the work that we've done together over these last few years to sort of get me where I am now, to have the experience that I'm having now. But I think I can say with some conviction that I feel like I am definitely a different person today than I was 10 weeks ago. I think I've been a couple of different people over the last 10 weeks. Lots and lots of inner work, inner focus, lots of inner querying of myself. I've really been grateful for the time and the inner space to be able to look more deeply at thoughts that come up, at feelings, emotions that I'm experiencing, and being able to ask the question, what is that about? Where does that thought come from? Where does that belief come from? When I feel this particular emotion, what is that about? What's underneath it? What is it trying to tell me? Because all of our thoughts and all of our emotions are serving us if we will honor them and take the time to look at them and to ask, what is your message? What is the message for my highest and best good, for my highest and best expression of me in this moment and going forward? I think we can all agree that the world has changed mightily in the last 10 to 15, 16 weeks, depending on where you are in the world. And we're never going to go back to the way we were things, the way things were before. I think if you tune in on a very subtle level, you can feel that. And I think we're all going through a process of touching that, of experiencing that, of understanding that. And depending on where you are in your cycle, that can feel terrifying. It can feel concerning and insecure and uncertain. It can feel, some people are experiencing it as a joyful potential. I think we can all agree that the way that life was running and going and proceeding on our planet up until the beginning of this year was unsustainable. You know, this busy, running, going, avoiding, just sort of living life on autopilot, I think, you know, and on the one hand, kind of wishing that, I wish I had some time where I could just sit down and take a look at my life and, you know, figure some things out. And I know in my own experience, the first couple of weeks, that seemed like a really exciting prospect. I was caught up in the moment of, wow, this is an incredible opportunity and I'm going to take advantage of it. And I'm going to learn some new things and I've got a pile of books and I'm going to read all of these books and I'm going to accomplish something special. I don't want to be the same person walking out of this quarantine as I was walking into the quarantine. Well, I can tell you that that is true for me, and you could probably feel it for yourself. And most of the things I said I was going to do, I have not done. My priorities, my focus has shifted several times over these last 10 weeks. But I have made some observations that were satisfying to me, because they help me to gain clarity, and I'm a big fan of clarity. I'm a huge fan of clarity. So one of the first things that down, because I think I mentioned on Monday morning, I was sort of, you know, I had meditated and I was writing some things down in my journal. And the first thing I wrote down was that my thoughts are a lot less critical. I had come to recognize in the last 8 or 9 months through a series of events that I was I tended to be very critical of people, of situations, of people's comments, people's behaviors, and it was these critical thoughts were almost instinctual. There wasn't even really any focused consideration given to them. Those thoughts would just pop right in. And in the past, I would have had a reaction to them in my physicality. I would have felt that sense of dissatisfaction, that sense of resistance, a sense of judgment of other people, of situations. I don't think that I am necessarily unique in this way, but I came to recognize that I didn't like that. I didn't want to be that person. I didn't want to have those knee-jerk reactions. I wanted to be more accepting that of people the way that they are, the way that they're showing up. I wanted to be more compassionate. I wanted to give people the benefit of the doubt more. I wanted to surrender to situations and circumstances. I wanted to trust that everything was showing up for our greater good. And I wanted to decrease the resistance that I would respond with to a situation. And so I can honestly say that in the last, 8 to 10 weeks, that that element of my perspective has diminished greatly. It's still there, I will confess. But now when a critical thought pops into my head, it doesn't trigger me in the same way. It doesn't have the same effect on my physical body. I don't feel that negativity in my gut. I'm more apt to see it and recognize it and not follow it and just kind of, let it go by. So for me personally, that was kind of a big plus. I've been paying attention to my triggers, to the events and comments and situations and relationships that trigger those negative responses. And when the triggers are significant enough, I will spend some time sitting with them, literally sitting with them. Admonition from scripture, be still, those are two of the most profound words in the English language, and certainly in the Bible. I've learned to just sit with a thought, or just sit with an emotion, or just sit with a feeling. I've also come to recognize that I am a lot more in tune with the cycles, the cosmological cycles that are happening in the heavens right now. If you're at all interested in astrology, there is a phenomenon that many are aware of where planets appear to be in retrograde. They appear to be orbiting backwards. Of course, they're not orbiting backwards, but it has to do with their placement in relation to the placement of other planets. And it has to do with the speed, the speed that the planets move in their orbit around the sun is not one size fits all. Some move very fast and some move very slow. And so I have a couple of astrologers who I pay attention to on social media who I found that when I read their usually weekly prescriptive for the coming days, what I've noticed is very often what they're talking about, I've actually picked up on a few days before that. So I've started to pay more attention to my intuition. I've started to connect those dots. And when something shows up in my reality and I've I've actually had a chance to read about it as well, I've been able to recognize, wow, you know, I'm much more intuitive than I thought I was. I'm really much more in tune with spirit than I thought I was before. So that, for me, that's also a good thing. That's positive. I've come to recognize I'm very prone to seriousness, that I take life very seriously, even though a lot of people who know me well know that I'm very optimistic and I can be annoyingly uplifting. I think that my daughter might say that from time to time. I actually can take life very seriously. And so I've been trying to learn to lighten up more, to recognize when I'm going down the rabbit hole and I don't really need to, that I can take that moment to stop and come back to center and realign with my source and bring myself back to a place of calm and peace and clarity. So when I was talking before about being sort of in tune with what's going on in the cosmos, in the beginning of this cycle, when we went into quarantine, those first couple of weeks were very up and down, almost like, you know, even just within a day, my inner environment could go from, you know, relatively high to relatively low. And it was, you know, like one of those frequency waves, up and down, up and down. And then over a period of time, the valleys started to, you know, there was more space in between the peaks. So the valleys were getting bigger and my sense of the moment was evening out. And so I wasn't experiencing the high highs and the low lows like I had been before. And I noted that the days between when I didn't feel good and the days when I did feel good, that there was space there. And again, I interpreted that as a positive thing. Over the last 2 to 3 weeks, I come to recognize that I was looking at this event almost, how do I put this? Almost like a calendar event kind of thing. I was judging my perspective based on, well, you know, by this time we'll be able to XYZ. You know, when we first went into quarantine, you know, I remember being told, you know, we'll be in quarantine for 2 weeks. And so I was prepared for 2 weeks. And then it became obvious that it was going to be longer than 2 weeks. And okay, you know, 4 weeks, you know, maybe another 4 weeks, another 2 weeks, what have you. And I was not unhappy with that because I was really settling into being at home all the time. But then I came to recognize that I was looking at progress as leaps, like I was expecting to take a leap in consciousness. And when that wasn't occurring to my satisfaction, I was seeing it as some sort of a shortfall or shortcoming within myself. And so in the last week or so, I have had several opportunities to feel like crap and to just let it be, to just that there's nothing wrong, that I'm not somehow failing, I'm not somehow inadequate, that this is what this cycle is doing, is helping us to sort of clear out the dross and move into the next level or the next stage of whatever this event is for us as individuals, us as a race, us as a planet. And so I started to readjust my expectations. I started to manage expectations better. And I recognized that my sense of progress is more incremental. And to be okay with that it's okay that it's incremental. It's okay that to me it seems like small increments, because I came to recognize that while I'm giving it I'm labeling it as a small increment, that's my perspective. That's my way of labeling it. There's really no way to judge small versus large. We are literally in unknown territory right now. So whatever your perspective is on your progress or your regress or your stationary, your stationary status at the moment, to just kind of be okay with it. Okay, so this is where I am today. And to just be very, very gentle, because another thing that I've become super aware of in the last 10 weeks is this admonition from, I'm sure, from childhood, from family conditioning, from ancestral programming, is to make yourself useful. Make yourself useful. You know, go do something. Don't just sit there, do something. And what that translated to over time was that my only worth was in producing, whether it was related to my job, or related to my home, or related to my parenting, or tasks that needed to be done. I was very uncomfortable for a long while to just be. And even if I would take the time to just sit, I had to be, you know, I would turn on the TV, watch a movie or something to kind of distract myself, but I'd still be, you know, making a to-do list or following up on email. And what I came to really understand was how deeply embedded within my thought process was the fact that I had to earn my right to be here. And the way that I earn my right to be here is by being productive. And that not being productive and not doing anything, I was seeing that as being very lazy, and lazy is very bad. So you can see sort of this ancestral programming. Again, I know I'm not unique in this way. Many, many people all over the world have had the same programming. And so I think it was last Thursday, I was just feeling incredibly uncomfortable. I just couldn't settle. No matter what I did, no matter how I tried to distract myself or feel better, nothing was working. Absolutely nothing was working. And so around, you know, late afternoon, I finally, you know, had a little come to Jesus meeting with myself. As my dad used to say, I said to myself, self. And I went out and sat on my deck, and I didn't take my phone, and I didn't take my laptop, and I didn't take a book. I just took myself, and I went out there and I sat down. We have a beautiful deck on the back of this house that looks out into nature, and there's all kinds of gorgeous birds, and, you know, there's a family of deer, and there's red fox, and not the actor, an actual red fox, hawks, geese. So there's all these wonderful nature sounds. And I made myself go out there and just sit. And I got comfortable in the chair, sort of, you know, slouching in the chair, and I was looking up at the sky and just observing the inner dialogue that was going on, and my feelings as this inner dialogue was ongoing, and observing how I wanted to get up. I wanted to get up and I wanted to go get a book. I wanted to go get something to write in. It's like, no, I'm going to sit here. I'm just going to be. And it took about 45 minutes before I just kind of settled down. And when I did this, that whole understanding of I don't have to earn my right to be here. I deserve to be here. And how do I know that? Because I am here. I deserve to be here because I am a child of God. I am a divine spark in a material world. I deserve to be here just because of who I am. Each of us deserves to be here just because of who we are. And the way that that can sort of translate into your personal experience, especially if you're working in a job, for me, it's been about unpacking the concept that my prosperity only comes to me through my job or through my work experience. That I rely on my employer for my prosperity, for all of those benefits that can come with employment. And I recognized that what I wanted to start doing was to realign my thinking with the concept, with the idea that those elements come to me from source because of who I am through this channel, not because of this channel. And I think many, many folks who are looking to shift their, maybe their career or their life purpose in the world, for me, it's about my ministry. I struggle with, I have inner conflict about how to characterize what it is that I do, you know, because the world loves titles. How do I characterize what it is that I do? And I do struggle with, or not struggle, but the idea that what I'm doing, it's not coaching. It's more along the lines of mentoring, but really it's a ministry because I am ministering to myself and to others in a way to help them reframe their understanding of how life works and the faculties of and feeling and how all of those tie in to the truth of who we are, which is creators. We are creators. That's who we are. We are divine spark in a material world, and the divine creates. It doesn't destroy, it creates. So a friend of mine has been encouraging me for many years to sort of become an entrepreneur, if you will. And I have resisted that because I have been a cog in a wheel for my entire career. My brain isn't wired toward entrepreneurship, but I am allowing myself to look at it more. And so what I've just shared, what I've been understanding and coming to see and observe over these last 10 weeks has sort of really helped me to kind of unpack a lot of that to then create a life that I want to live for the rest of my life. You know, this time in time, it's fraught with hardship. I definitely recognize that it's fraught with challenges and it's just fraught with uncertainty. But one of the gifts of it is that if we want to make a change in our life, boy, there is just no time like the present. There's a lot that is available to us right now to make those changes in life. And it starts with thinking. It starts with changing the way that you think about things, which I hope is what I've just kind of described in my experience of these last 10 weeks. So many of us believe that there's something wrong with us, or something failing in us, or something inadequate in us that needs to be fixed in order for us to achieve some level of perfection and satisfaction and a life that we can truly love and enjoy. Sort of what I like to call the if, you know, if then scenario, or the when then scenario. And what if that's not true? What if we come into this world perfect? We go through some things, we have some experiences, we come to an understanding that it might be time to unlearn everything that we've learned, or a lot of what we've learned. And so we kind of go through a process like that, where we're unlearning so that we can reorient to our North Star, so to speak. Rumi, there's a wonderful quote by the Sufi poet Rumi, and it says, "Your task is not to seek for love." Okay, so our task is not to look for the imperfections in us and fix it. Your task is not to seek for love, but merely to seek and find all the barriers within yourself that you have built against it. So it's that old programming that we now have the opportunity to recognize, to see, to, we have the inner, you know, if we choose to avail ourselves of it, we have the inner space and we have the gift of time, where if we can get comfortable with sitting in silence or relative silence and allowing thoughts and ideas which don't really serve who we are to rise up out of that liminal consciousness level, if we will gift ourselves with that, it will shift. It will shift everything in our life. Many people resist meditation and inner contemplation because they think or they believe that these thoughts and ideas that arise are going to be tortuous, that those thoughts and ideas will reinforce how inadequate they are. And so they don't want to look at it because they're afraid. They don't want to feel awful. They already feel awful. They don't want to feel more awful. But in my experience, that's not what happens. When you take the time to sit with something and just let it sort of come up and come to you, you don't have to follow it. You don't have to, you know, beat it up, wrestle it to the ground. You don't have to argue with it. You don't have to fix it. You don't have to accept it or deny it. My sense is that those thoughts and ideas that rise up are actually parts of our soul that just want to be returned to unity, that just want to be whole again. That's all it is. It's like the prodigal son coming home after having had all the experiences. And we have the opportunity to be that father and welcome those parts of ourselves back. I remember sitting in meditation once, and this thought came up, and it was not a comfortable thought. And I recall asking myself in silence, where did that come from? And seeing where it came from, recognizing where I had heard it before many, many times. And rather than saying, well, I don't believe that anymore, so you're out of here, it was, my response was more loving toward myself and toward the person who gave me that programming. And my response was more along the lines of, oh, I see that now. I see that now, but that doesn't have to be true for me anymore. And for me, that was actually very healing. It turned a part of me to me that I have left behind along the way. So this world event really is an opportunity in stillness if we can get comfortable with it. And my experience when I first started going down this path, for the first couple of weeks, it was rough. And mind you, it wasn't during this pandemic. It was a while back. It was actually about 5 years ago that I started to understand how I could reprogram my mind and feel the effects of that reprogramming and the cooperation of my body in that process. I had a really good teacher who told me exactly what to expect. And everything he described showed up exactly the way he said it would. And because I had had foreknowledge, I was able to allow these elements to rise up, and I was able to move through them and he had said, it'll take about 3 weeks. And he was right. It was like almost on the money. 3 weeks into it, I felt this inner calm and inner peace that has never left me. Even though in the last 10 weeks, there has been that roller coaster, that up and down. And I've had, moments of the whole freak out thing. Once through those experiences, that inner peace would just come right back. So I had some blips on the radar screen. I think that's called being human, but they didn't overtake me like they had in the past. And so, if anyone listening to this is thinking about, the benefits of meditation and introspection, it is so worth it. It is so worth it. You will reap a sense of peace and calmness that will really hold you in good stead, so that even as you proceed on in your life experience and you do have those moments where something knocks you off center, you'll be able to come right back to center pretty quickly. You'll be able to regain that sense of really quickly. So what we think and the underlying beliefs that give rise to that, to those thoughts, is essential to a life of creating growth and joy and freedom. Because if we don't come to understand the purpose of the faculty of thought and the purpose of the faculty of emotion, then we're going to be at the mercy of whatever shows up. And our life is going to be built on shifting sands. If you want to build your life on a foundation that is solid and steady and steadfast, then coming to understand how you think, the beliefs that you have held that give rise to those thoughts, and how the faculty of emotion can help you in making that shift. If you will value that pursuit or those pursuits, you will not regret it. You will change your life. Your life will change with very little effort on your part. The effort that I'm talking about has very little, I would dare to say nothing, to do with physical action. It has to do with thought and emotion to create a feeling. Science has proven that human emotion, the faculty of feeling, affects our DNA. This isn't a metaphysical theory or concept. This is scientifically proven that our emotions affect our DNA. And following that, our DNA has an effect, an organizing effect, on the stuff that our world is made of. So I hope that I'm saying that in such a way that it's almost revelatory to you. Because basically what it's saying is thoughts and emotions create a feeling. Feeling has an effect on our DNA, and our DNA has an organizing effect on the stuff that our world is made of. So if A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C as well. Our thoughts and emotions equal a feeling, and our feelings have an effect, have an organizational effect on the stuff that our world is made of. So if you want something different, then you have to do something different. You have to think differently, right? You have to think differently. There's a great quote by Albert Einstein that I'm sure you've heard, certainly seen on memes on social media. We cannot solve problems by using the same kind of thinking we used when we created them. So problems, and I prefer to use the terminology difficult situations, oftentimes come about because of our previous thought, because we worry, because we're fearful, because we're doubtful, because we're angry. We're angry at the past. That shouldn't have happened. It shouldn't have happened that way. We should have, would have, could have all over ourselves. And we offer a tremendous amount of resistance to what already is, which is kind of a form of insanity. So if we want something different, we have to show up differently. How do you show up differently? You show up differently by different thought, different perspective, different emotions, responding, not reacting. We live in a very dynamic universe. And quantum physics is proving that there are infinite potentials available to us at any given moment. And we choose the potential that we want to experience through our thought and our emotion. We choose through our thought and our feelings the potentials that we want to experience. We literally set up a frequency within our body, like a radio signal being emitted from a radio tower. And we also have a receiver in us. And we get back what we broadcast out. There's a scripture in the Bible, in the book of John, chapter 1, verse 3, and it says, "Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made." I had to read that line many, many, many times over to make sense of it. I was born under a Virgo sun, so my thinking tends to be very logical and very linear. And so this sentence was difficult for me to understand. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. So basically what that scripture is saying is that at the moment of creation, every potential, every possible infinite potential that ever was and ever could be was created. Now, to supplement that scripture, scientists who have been attempting and working with the concept and the theory of recreating the Big Bang, the moment of the Big Bang, what they discovered was at the moment of creation, I think the study that I read several years ago said that within the first 2 to 3 minutes of creation, 96% disappeared and only 4% remained. And there's a correlating statistic that says that human beings can only perceive 4% of the visible light spectrum through their sense of sight. So I think those three elements together support each other. So to recap those, the book of John verse 3 says, through him all things were made, and him is Christ consciousness. Christ is an energy. It is a consciousness. It is the highest form, the highest vibrational frequency of consciousness that there is in existence, in the infinite. You can't really accurately characterize it because language is very limiting. There's just no limit to it. So the term him has come to be correlated with Christ as a male human being. And while Christ consciousness was integrated and seated into, eventually fully seated into the physical material self that was Jesus of Nazareth, Christ is a consciousness. It's not a person. So Christ is the creative, the creator in us, of us, around us. So through Christ, all things were made. And without Christ, nothing was made that has been made. So Christ is the creator, and everything that could ever possibly be was created at the moment of creation. Correlating to that is the statistic that scientists have found that at the moment of creation, the moment of the Big Bang, if you want to use that term, 96% of what was created disappeared and only 4% remained. And then you correlate with that the statistic that human beings can only perceive 4% of the visible light spectrum through their sense of sight. So if 96% of creation isn't something that we can see in this moment as we look around us, but it exists in potential, that means that you don't have to accept your life as it is. You can create something else. You can choose something else. And you do that with your thoughts and your emotions to create a feeling. And if you're choosing something that conflicts with a buried or a hidden belief that you have about that, you'll feel uncomfortable. So for example, let's say that you want more money in your life and you're doing affirmations about, you know, I am wealthy. I am prosperous. I am a wealthy owner of a beautiful home. If you're doing these affirmations, but you're getting that sort of feeling in the middle of your gut, like, yeah, no, you're not. There's an underlying belief there, and that emotion, that feeling, is actually a message for you. That you can affirm until the cows come home, but until you deal with that that feeling inside that says, no, I don't think so. Your creation is delayed. So it's usually some kind of a belief in lack, whether it's a belief that I don't deserve it, whether it's a belief that, money doesn't grow on trees, whether it's a belief that no one in my family has ever had anything like that. I'm sure you can look back in your own situation and you can come up with what is the belief that conflicts with the affirmation that you're stating. Because if you can clear that belief, and that can be done pretty quickly, as soon as you clear that belief, basically you'll feel that shift in your inner world, and stuff will start to show up that is in alignment with that affirmation that you're making. But you have to change the way you think, because the way you thought before is why you got what you got right now. So if you want to have something different, you have to think differently. You have to change your thoughts. You have to change your focus. And some of those things will be really easy to clear. And some of those things will be more challenging to clear. It's just kind of the way that it works, because each of us is a spark of the divine that has chosen to enter this this dimension of time and space. Each of us is a spark of the divine that has chosen to enter this time and space, this space-time continuum. And the parameters and the the parameters of this time and space. While it seems like we are limited to what is, those three statistics the scripture and then the two scientific statistics that I just quoted previously tell us that we are unlimited. And all we have to do is change our thoughts and we'll change our feelings and our emotions, that those then impact the stuff that our world is made of. So I hope you can see the path that I'm kind of taking you down here. I guess I'm stating a case for the value to doing that inner inquiry and inner examination to get yourself into a much better place to then be able to experience the things that you want to experience. When I first started studying the philosophy of self-actualization, it was because I wanted to attain something. A different circumstance, a different relationship, a different condition. I pursued it because I had a specific outcome in mind. Over time, especially once I experienced that deep, deep sense of inner peace that I mentioned previously in the podcast, it was like there was this moment where I recognized that this was what I actually was wanting all along. I believe that's what we're really wanting is peace. We want peace of mind. And some people struggle against that because they believe that what they're being told is to give up their desires, to give up their attachment to the outcome. And that's really not what we're being asked to do. It's okay to identify a desire. It's okay to spend time thinking about a specific outcome. In fact, if it gives you joy and it feels fun to do, then do it until your heart's content. You'll know, though, that you've attached to the outcome, and that usually, where that will usually trip you up is you're not actually looking at the outcome, you're looking at the how. And our job isn't the how. Our job is the what and the why, but it's not the how. Sometimes it's obvious how to bring something into your life. And if it's there and it presents itself, then, you know, if it's legal, do it, do whatever you have to bring it into your life. But there are big dreams that we all have, and we don't know how we're going to achieve those dreams. You don't need to know how. All you need to identify is the what and the why. And the why isn't justification. The why is why, how will it make you feel when you have that? Not, you know, why do you deserve it? Why should you get it? Not someone else. You want to focus on the why in terms of how will you feel when you have it? Because what you actually want is the feeling that the thing that you believe once you have it will give you. What you really want is the feeling. So we are down to our last 2 minutes. I hope that my musings made sense, that they landed for some of you. Thank you so much for joining me on tonight's podcast. It will be archived shortly after this program ends. You can also find it on iTunes. You can go to iTunes and search on Universal Energy Radio and subscribe there. Like the page, and you can search for my podcasts and listen to those. You can also listen to them, obviously, here on Blog Talk Radio if you want to come back and find that link. I really enjoy hearing from listeners and callers, so I hope that you might take a moment to visit my webpage, logospraxis.com, and click on the Let's Connect tab. Send me an email, comments, questions, show topics. Love to hear from people about things that they would like to hear about. You can also click on the schedule a consult tab if you'd like to talk. Maybe we can work together a little bit, even if it's just one visit. There are several testimonies, if you will, that are listed on my website with people who've said one conversation shifted their perspective and things started to just pour in after that. So love to talk to people and would love to be helpful to you if I can. Thanks again. I'll be back here next Wednesday, May 27th at 8:00. In the meantime, have a terrific 3-day weekend. And I do look forward to talking with you again next week. Have a terrific week. Good night, everybody.